If you take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 10, Ezekiel 22, Isaiah chapter 6. I asked those here on Wednesday night to be praying for this message because we need this message. We are in the last of the last of the last moments of the last days before our Lord Jesus Christ returns. The devil knows very well that his days are numbered. And he is turning up the heat out there in the world. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that true Bible Christianity is not received in the world very well anymore. And there are movements of governments, of nations, and religions that are all being used of the devil trying to silence the good news of the gospel. We are what you call independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist. But in these last days, true Bible-believing, even amongst our independent Baptists, have got it very difficult. We have been losing ground in our churches, and that's because there's so much of the world has to offer you through technology nowadays. There's so much pressure, peer pressure, even for you adults, from family, friends, at work, not to stand true to the old time things in this book. And what that does is, life itself is stressful, but what that does is, it causes even more stress. There are pastors and evangelists and missionaries in our fundamental churches that the stress is overcoming almost every single week. It seems like there's another one that's affected. It's very difficult. If you're going to be a true missionary, a true pastor, and a true member, it is difficult. And if we are going to make it successfully, we need each other to stand together. We need to be a different kind of church, one that accepts the Word of God, one that clings to each other in the Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ and the old wicked cross, one that says, I'm sorry, but it's worth too much to walk away from. The pressure is there, even amongst preachers, to just tone things down. Don't hit certain issues. Just, especially now with homosexuality out there. Just tone things down. Don't rock the boat. Don't hit the KJV and the standards and the music and the holy living. Just keep it lovey-dovey, feely-touchy. But folks, if we don't stand out, if we don't stand up, we won't stand out. If we don't stand out, we're not going to reach out very well. The closer we get to the rapture, the more ungodly the world is going to get. There's going to be a great falling away, and there's going to be much apostasy, and it's even going to be in our fundamental churches. You may as well expect it. There are folks that are going to stand up and leave the service in the middle of the service or leave after the service and not come back. It happens. But it ought not keep us from going on. Amen? That's why it's so important we stand together with each other. We encourage one another. We let folks know when they come in this church, we're all standing together. We stand on this old King James Bible. We stand for the doctrines of this Bible. And we ain't being persuaded otherwise. Amen?
Right.
Young people, as you get out there and you become teenagers, and the older you get as teenagers, the more friends you're going to have, they're going to be you'll be with unsupervised, no doubt, as time goes on. And you're going to find out there's all, even in fundamental churches, there's a lot of Christians that ain't what they ought to be. And they're going to try and persuade you to go likewise. Don't you do it! You're going to find out when your Christian friends that are from contemporary churches and family life churches that, hey, we don't do those things in our church. We have fun. You ought to be more like us. Don't follow them. It happens in fundamental churches. My question to you tonight is, in these last days, where are you going to stand? Are you in it for the long haul? Or just while it's easy going? Are you in it because it's popular, and when it's unpopular, you're going to go somewhere that's popular? I'm telling you, with the current homosexual agenda out there and things that are going on, there are difficult days ahead. But we can make it together. We're going to need each other. We're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to dwell in unity to maintain that power to the fullest. We're going to have to submit to this Bible, folks. These young folks are so precious tonight. I don't want to lose because I caved and have it affect them. It happens too often anyways. Men, these young people, if there ever was a time when they needed light, it's in the dark world we're in today. If there ever was a time they need the truth, it's in the deception that's going on out there in the world today. Amen? And you need it too. Young people, you pray for your parents. And parents, you pray for your young people. Take your Bibles. You should be in Hebrews 10. But Hebrews 10. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 10. In verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without waffling, no compromising. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. You look around this room tonight, we need one another, amen? We do. We need to pray one for another, we need to encourage one another, and sometimes we need to straighten one another out. Amen? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let me tell you something. If ever we're going to need to get together as often as we can, it's now.
Right.
I mean, when the doors are open, thank God, come on down and jump in and let God bless you. Encourage the brethren, let the brethren encourage you. Your singing encourages, your testimonies, your amens. It's all encouraging. Not forsaking the assembling together. Listen to this now. As the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Have you looked at the horizon lately? You looked out there on the horizon? You seen what's coming? It's here. Men, it's on the horizon, folks. The rapture of the church is imminent. And I don't know how much God's going to allow the church to go through. He's trying the church. He's trying to purify it. He wants to bring forth some gold out of it, some silver, some stones. Amen? He's waiting for them last souls that His church is going to reach. He's long-suffering. And that day is here, folks, and we want to stay faithful to the end. If you lay down your sword, if you give up your Bible convictions, if you walk away from this Bible doctrine and you take the easy, soft pedal, compromising the apostate, lovey-dovey, feely-touchy type road, you may walk away today and you come tomorrow. Guess what? You go home still, but you go home a quitter. You go home a compromiser. You go home someone who... And if he tarries and you go that way long term, you'll start slandering those that are still standing for the truth, and you'll go home as one who hindered it. It's just the way it goes, folks. Listen, I care about you tonight. I don't want to drag you down tonight, but I want to give you something to stand with tonight. Turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. In verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon the day of indignation. We could say that America is not cleansed, couldn't we? Couldn't we? It's wicked. There is a conspiracy of our prophets in the midst thereof. Well, we could say that in the churches in America tonight, couldn't we? There's all kinds of compromise. You turn the TV on out there, the radio, and look at the books that are out there for sale. You get all kinds of things that are way out there. Like a roaring lion raving in the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests, and this is the preachers now, have violated my law and profaned mine holy things. Listen, it doesn't matter where the church stands. Preachers must stay true. Now, the more folks that stand true with him, the easier his job will be. Amen? But even when they don't, what's happening is preachers are saying, I'm going to give them what they want. And they're going to leave in the holy things. They put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. He's talking about his priest. You could apply it to the New Testament church. He's talking about the preachers. Listen, a preacher doesn't want to be guilty of leading a church astray or giving into a church and going astray. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves raving in the prey to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And that's where a lot of those guys are at nowadays out there. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. All these guys saying they had a vision ain't all had visions. Amen? I got a revelation from the Lord. You see them say on TV. You better check it out with the Scriptures. The people of the land have used oppression. Is that what's happening in America today? Oh, listen, you stand up against them. If you refuse to serve them in your business, if you refuse to take a stand, they're going to press you, they're going to sue you, they're going to put you, they're going to phone call you with anonymous calls and letters and emails saying they're going to kill you and do this and do that to you. Like they were in Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot brought the angels into his house and they came looking for him and said, if you don't give them to us, we're going to take them by violence. That's what that crowd does. And have exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now what does God say in verse 30? Listen to verse 30 here. And I sought for a man among them. Not a wimp, a man. That they should make up the hedge. What's a hedge for? Protection, safety. Amen? And stand in the gap between the church and the world. Stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And then he makes this terrible statement. But I found none. I wonder if he looks here tonight at us. What's he found? Therefore I have poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have they have recompense upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Isaiah 6. Remember when you got saved? You realized how holy God was and how sinful you were and how much He loved you. He died on that cross for you. He took His sins upon Himself for you. And when you got saved, you just gave your life to Him, your heart and soul. You were going to do something for Him. Don't ever forget that. No. Isaiah says that he saw the Lord and the dear King Uzziah died on His throne. He talks about the seraphims around it. In verse 3, they cried, Holy, 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 Lord of hosts. He saw that. And when he saw God's righteousness, His holiness, who He was, he said this in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There's a difference in verse 5 and what the man of God says, and Ezekiel 22 and what the prophets lie about, isn't there? Right? And the priest. And God, of course, cleansed him. And when he realized in verse 7, and he says, thy iniquity is taken away, at the end of that verse, and thy sin is purged, do you realize how grateful Isaiah felt? And then listen to this statement. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. What a contrast to Ezekiel 22. And every day, you and I must make choices where we're going to stand. Whatever the issue comes up, we must make an issue. We must take a stand. Or we don't stand. When God says concern a certain doctrine or what the Bible teaches and what's right and right and what's wrong is wrong, and the choice comes to us, either we stand up and count it or we sit down and we shut up. Right. Every day we've got a choice to deal with. And I'm going to talk about those tonight a little bit. This is my introduction. I know it sounds long. It might be till 7:30 when I get done tonight. But listen to me. Take this message to heart. I want to help you in the days ahead. I want you to finish the course with joy. I want you to be effective as a witness and a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see you winning souls for Christ. I want to see you standing forth for the Word of God. I want to see you victorious no matter what comes our way. I want to see you take it with joy and finish for the Lord. I want to see you stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the longer it goes before He comes, the more difficult it's going to be to maintain that stand. That's why it's so important that when you want another, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Amen? When you know there's someone standing with you, it is such a blessing. We need to stand together. Because no one else is going to do it if we don't. The compromising churches ain't going to do it. The cult ain't going to do it. The homosexuals aren't going to do it. The abortionists aren't going to do it. Your psychiatrists aren't going to do it. And all your government programs aren't going to do it. We are the light of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Father, bless this message, Father. It's been a long introduction. Help the message to be shorter, Father. But help me to be focused and not skip anything you want me to go into. Father, empty me of myself. Let there be no motive in here other than to send your word forth as you would have it to go forth. Let it go to the hearts and help them in these last days. Let it encourage them and it may convict them in some areas, but that's good. That's encouraging to know you care enough about us to tell us what's right and what's wrong. And may we be strengthened one together, one another, to stand together here in these last days on the truth, the doctrine of your word, of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and of your salvation. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, on the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But when you get that foundation, then you got to build upon it. He's the foundation. We're building upon it. Amen. And we're to take heed. Turn to Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to go quickly tonight. I'm not going to try and tarry too long at any one point here. And as God really has me park it there, I would appreciate that if you are in agreement tonight, letting those around you know that with an amen. I'm serious, folks. They are important. They are needed. We need to stand together. And if you're not, you're welcome to say, oh me. And if you're in between, you're welcome to say, ouch. Amen. But I want you to know. We need to do that with one another. Romans 7, verse 15. Here's the battle you and I face all the time. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We don't want sin to get the victory, do we? It's the flesh against the spirit. We won't go into Romans 8 tonight, but Romans 8 is the spirit getting the victory. Romans 7 is battling with the flesh getting the victory. You go through it every day, all day long. You are confronted with choices. You are confronted with will you stand or will you sit? Will you speak up or will you shut up? Are you going to make a difference for right or for wrong? Every day, whether it be in school, in the neighborhood, at work, with family, you have a choice to make. And it is so hard to make the right choices, because the flesh is so prone to make the wrong choices. He says in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Boy, I'm telling you, in this battle between the spirit and the flesh, put stress upon everybody who's a Christian. Stress is what's causing to cave. Thinking, if I cave, it won't be so stressful. Oh, listen, my friend, if you give in to evil, good's not happy. And you're still going to be stressed as a Christian. Let me tell you this, and I give it to you just, I think I said it earlier this week, I'm going to say it again. As a Christian, you will never be fit with the world again. You can never put a square peg in a round hole. They may act like they welcome you back, but behind your back, they're ridiculing you and making fun of you because you've compromised and you've given them reason to think, huh, see, it don't work because look where they're at now. If it was real, they wouldn't have compromised. They wouldn't have changed that. Well, they pressure you to. They ridicule you. They want you, what are you, a goody two-shoes? You know? Are you mommy and daddy's boy or girl? But listen, it's stressful. But you will never fit in the world again as a Christian. When you got saved, He made you a new creature. He made you His child. You are no longer a child of the devil. You are a child of your Heavenly Father. You can never mix in again. It's like mixing oil and water. It just don't mix. It's easy to spot. In verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, there's no more I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Again, we don't want sin to have the victory, do we? We want Christ to have the victory in our lives. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Well, I'm telling you what. Listen to me. Doing good does not always feel good. More times than not, doing good doesn't always feel good. Years ago, I had someone who made some right choices in their life. And they did the right thing. They took the right stand. And he came to me as a preacher. If it's so right, why do I feel so awful? I said, because the flesh don't like it. The world don't like it. And the devil don't like it. Amen? But when you're in the Spirit, you're going to realize, I did good in God's pleased. "I find a delight in the law of God after the inward man." The man that's born again, the part of you that's saved, the spiritual part, the real you, the inward man. "But I see another law in my members," that's the flesh, "warring against the law of my mind," the spirit, "and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members," flesh. And Paul gets so tired of this battle, so tired of trying to do right, so tired of being so hard. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" We got to deliver. In verse 25, the Holy Spirit gives him his answer. "I thank God that Jesus Christ our Lord, so that in my mind I myself shall the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin." And I'm telling you, that's why it's so important we come together. And so important in our daily lives we get into the Bible, because we need to strengthen the Spirit, folks. There are some difficult days ahead in this world. Preacher, we don't want to keep hearing that. Folks, you got to know the truth. You got to get prepared. The kids didn't want to hear school was starting this week. They didn't want to go back to school and put their nose back in them books again. Most of them don't. But you tell them, because you have to, because we're preparing you for life, right? And the part of the preacher is prepare you for what's coming. And folks, it's out there. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. And verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Oh, if ever we needed His power and His might, it's in this generation, isn't it? Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles. That'd be the tricks, the deceiveries of the devil. The devil can even come as an angel of light, and so can his minister be transformed into that. It's so difficult. It's so hard to stand up. He says, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Is that not the day and age in which we live? The Antichrist, I believe, is on the earth, and I believe behind the scenes he's already controlling things. He's not revealing himself yet because we're still here. But behind the scenes, I believe he's pulling the strings. And it's that pressure that comes from without. He says unto us, "Wherefore, take you the whole armor of God." Now, I'm not going to go through all the armor tonight. You do well to look at that and do a study on that. But under the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What evil day? The last days. So much the more you see the day approaching, right? Right? It's evil. "And having done all, to stand." I searched for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. "Here am I, Lord, send me." Which one are you in? Every day, all day long, we have to make those choices. When you get up in the morning, are you going to spend time with God? Throughout the day, you make the choices of what you're going to do in that day, where you're going to go, how you're going to present yourself, the conversation you're going to be in, the things that are going to be presented to you, what you're going to be offered to do, and you have to make the right choices all day long, don't you? "I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. Here am I, Lord, send me." Which one are you going to be in? Every day, all day long, you've got to make those choices. One wrong choice can ruin a lifetime of testimony.
That's right.
It's so hard. We need each other. We need the preaching of God's Word. We need the truth of God's Word. We need to stand for right in a very wrong day. Look at verse 18. "Pray always with all prayer and supplications." If ever was a time since the history of the creation of man that we need to pray for each other, I think it's right now.
Right.
We need to spend much time in prayer one for another. And how do you do it? Praying with all, praying always, that's without ceasing, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S. The flesh don't like praying. It wearies quick in praying, doesn't it? It runs out of work quickly. Sometimes when you're praying, just get silent for a few moments and let God get the conversation started. Amen? "And watching thereunto with all perseverance," pushing on, not giving up ground, taking ground. One thing you'll see for the armor, there's no armor for the back because we're not supposed to retreat. "And supplication for all saints." Listen to me. Those sitting here with you tonight, they need your prayers. They need your persevering. Your standing for right will encourage them to stand for right. And their standing for right will encourage you to stand for right. And we do it together, and we will not be broken that way.
Right.
We have the Word. We have the Holy Spirit. We have one another. We need to use that threefold cord. Amen? Thank God He gave us a church. And then He says, "And for me," that's the preacher, "that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly," not mealy mouth, not avoiding the issues, not avoiding a subject because somebody's present, but boldly call it what it is, tell it like it is, and tell them God will forgive it, God can change it if you'll just let Him. Amen?
Amen.
"To make known the mystery of the gospel, and to preach the gospel in all messages, the gospel should be present." for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I and I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Folks, it's a lot easier for the evangelists to come in here and do that, for the pastors, for the missionaries to come in here to do that, when you're encouraging them, saying, I'm with you. An amen goes a long ways at helping the preacher speak boldly, when he knows someone's in his corner. Someone's got his back. Amen? It does. To leave a preacher thinking he's standing on his own is to make him think, boy, maybe if I just quieted down, it'd be a lot better. You don't want a compromising preacher. It leads to a compromising church. It leads to a carnal church, which leads to an apostate church, which leads to an ineffective church. And we don't want that, do we? We need to stand together. Turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Every generation has to make its own choice. Moses came on the scene, had to make his choice. Whether he's going to be a child of Pharaoh or a child of the Jews. He made the choice to serve God and suffer the affliction. He's gone. Joshua was his right-hand man. He followed him. He supported him. He encouraged him. God picked him as the next one. And then Joshua 24, verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord. He's telling them, Joshua's now leaving the scene. He's getting ready to go to heaven. And he's telling the next generation, listen, I'm 56 years young, almost 57. 13 more years and I'll have my 70. And I don't know how many more years God will give me if he tarries. But when I'm gone, you got to make your own choices. This generation right now, you got choices you got to make for your generation. You young parents, the generation behind me, you're making choices for your children to leave behind for them to make their choices in the next generation. Every generation makes it fresh. It's a personal choices. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt. That's a picture of when they were lost and in the world. They don't belong to the gods of this world anymore. Amen? And serve the Lord, the one that delivered you. Amen? The one that rescued you from the world. They were to serve the Lord God Almighty who rescued them out of Egypt. It's a picture of who we serve after we're saved. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. I looked for man standing in the gap, but I found none. Hear my Lord, send me. We've got our own choice to make. I have mine, and you have yours. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, speaking of sin, which did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people to whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from them before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. What's your choice? The only one I can really truly choose for here tonight is me. When your children are young, you can tell them what they got to do and they got to follow. But as they get older, they got to make their own choices, don't they? And sometimes the friends they hang with influence them that, hey, our church is easier to be in. Listen to me, folks. Choose you this day. Where are you going to stand? The choice is going to cost you. The right choice, they will reject you like they did our Lord out there. But they rejected Him, didn't they? And they will reject you. But there will be the few that will get saved because of it. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In And look here at verse 14. I think I want 1 Thessalonians. No, I'm right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a fallen away first. He's talking about the day of Christ at the end of verse 2. Then that man of sin, that be the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That day, he can't reveal himself till we're gone, but everything will be in place for him to step on the scene when we're gone. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look with me, if you would, at the first couple of verses in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Yes, what I want there. Look at chapter 3 also. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. And that tells you why and what we're up against. Then in verse chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who does the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Remember, He's going to appear. No matter how dark it gets, He's still going to appear.
Amen.
Preach the Word! It's the first commandment there, right? Preach the Word! It pleased God by the fools of the preacher, when He tells us, to save them that are lost. Amen?
Right.
Preach it. Be instant, in season, when it was popular and they wanted us around. And out of season, when we're the oddballs and now they don't want us around. Reprove. Rebuke. No, reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why did He say "and doctrine" at the end? Because of verse 3. For the time will come, it's here, folks, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why not? But will after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they want to be entertained. They want to be made to laugh and to feel good. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and to be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So like Paul, you can finish your course having kept the faith and with joy. Amen? You understand? You got a choice to make there, folks. Where are you going to be at in them verses? I looked for a man. I sought for a man to stand in the gap. But I found none. Here am I, Lord. Send me. You've got a choice which camp you're going to be in. Are you going to finish the race being an independent, fundamental Bible believer? Or are you going to cave to something else? Oh, even if you maintain the name in your church, but you don't stand for those things, all you are is a liar. Because that name meant something years ago. Years ago, when someone said, "Oh, I'm a fundamental Baptist," he didn't really have to question what they stood for because they stood for the same thing. Nowadays, you got to say, "Well, what do you believe?" And you find some strange things out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm winding down here, but I ain't got much longer to go. You're very patient tonight. Verse 14. You know these verses, but it's necessary to put them in here again. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. They ought not be influencing us. We ought to influence them.
Right.
For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Who are you running with? Who you like to be around? Who's your favorite crowd to be with? And what communion hath light with darkness? What are you standing for? Light or darkness? And what conflict Christ with Belial? What part of he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel is one who rejects Christ. It's foolishness. They wind up in hell because of it. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And because of that, he says this, wherefore, because I'm your God, because you're my people, come out from among them and be a separate. That's the word you would get to use for holy, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters. I want you to see how he closes this chapter, how the Holy Spirit closes this out. Saith the Lord Almighty. Because he's going to win.
Amen.
And so are his children. We don't want to compromise. We want to stand up, stand out, and bring folks with us with a testimony. Again, 1 Corinthians 3:11, of the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalms 11. And I'm just about done, folks. I am. I'm just about done. Psalms 11. You know the verse, but I want you to see it. Psalms 11 and verse number 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If there are no churches that stand for the truth anymore, what's left for America? What's left for the world? If there are no lighthouses, those traveling through those waters are in danger, aren't they? We're a lighthouse. We're together. We are the people of God. We are in the last days, and we've got to stand for right. We've got to do it standing together. The more of us that stand together, the louder will be our voice, the greater will be our impact, the brighter will shine our light. Psalms 9 and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. My friend, America has forgotten God. There's never been a nation that has gone as far away as we have and turned back. The homosexual agenda is the last thing, because they will not admit they are sinners. That's the pride that Sodom and Gomorrah had. We're not wrong. Liars know lying is wrong. They think they can get by with it. Thieves know stealing is wrong. They think they can get by with it. Murderers know murder is wrong. They think they can get by with it. But they still know it's wrong. But a homosexual says, I'm not wrong. I was born this way. No, you wasn't. You chose that wicked lifestyle. And if they can't humble themselves and say, I'm a sinner, God can't save them. And that group, man, the least out of it, they will turn because they won't admit they're sinners. Now, I'm not saying none will. There are those who will. There will be a few, I'm sure. But probably least out of any other group, out of that group, because they won't admit their sin in their lifestyle. They claim we were born this way. I was trapped in a woman's body, or I was trapped in a man's body. Baloney. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In verse 9. You say, well, I've already changed some things because it just gets tough out there. I understand. It's tough being a preacher too. Amen? I'm standing for those things. But you can change. If you're willing to admit, God, I've made some wrong choices, God will help you make the right ones. That's the goodness of our God. Amen?
Amen.
He says, wherewithal, verse 9, shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you fix it? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. There's the answer. With your whole heart you got to seek him. You got to seek right. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. That's got to be your prayer. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. You got to get into the word, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Why do you want to teach them? So you can do them. Amen. You want to be taught. You should be hungry to learn from God's Word so you know what God wants. And when you hear what God says and it's contrary to what you've been doing, you shouldn't get upset. You should say, "Oh, my soul, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to change that in my life. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." How many of the judgments? That's the job of the preacher and the church. And all God's people said,
"Amen."
All the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. You see, preachers compromise to keep the offerings coming in. More people means more offerings. It means a better lifestyle even for the preachers, doesn't it? "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." I will delight myself, not just learn them, but I will delight myself in thy statutes. And the end of that verse, this is what you got to get. "I will not forget thy word." When I hear what you say, I'm going to make my choices and I'm not going to forget what you said, Lord. When they come along and try and pressure me and persecute me and ridicule me, I'm going to stand on your word. I'm not going to change. And I'm going to be pleased to stand there. I will do it with joy. Oh, it may hurt, but there's still joy in here knowing you've done what's right. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Come out among them and be a separate. I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. Hear my Lord, send me. You've got a choice to make. Where are you going to stand in these last days? What kind of Christian are you going to be? One that stands up and stands out? One that sits down and shuts up? When the tough gets going, when the going gets tough, rather, what are you going to do? If the footmen are wearing you now, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? My friend, listen. Every one of us here, including your preacher, has decisions to make every day about where we're going to stand. When I'm preparing a message, I got to get into it, and I've got choices I got to make. And sometimes the pressure can really go on you, saying, if you hit that, it's not going to go well. But if it's what God says to hit, it's what I must hit. We don't do it because of how popular it makes us or how good it makes us feel. We do it because it's right. It's never right to do wrong, to do right. The end never justifies the meaning. So where are you going to stand tonight? Invitation is going to be simple. My hands will come forward in a minute and place them quietly. And I'm just going to ask you, if you're going to stand for the Lord, why don't you come kneel here and just tell the Lord, "Lord, by your grace and with your help, I'm going to stand on your word. And God, by your help, with your wisdom, with the power of your Holy Spirit, I want to make the right choices. Hear my Lord, send me. Use me. I'm going to stand in the gap for you, Lord. Just help me when the going gets tough to have someone there with me to stand with me. Just help me to know you're with me. Help me not to lose sight of the end of the road." Amen? That's the invitation tonight. Simple and plain. If you're not saved tonight, you come down front and you get my hand and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. God loves you. He brought you here. He wants to save you. He died for you. He shed his blood. He's done all he can do. You must come confessing you're a sinner and believing on him as Savior. He will do the pardoning. He will do the forgiving. He will do the saving. He will change your life from within. And you'll be amazed at what he makes out of your life and the peace that will come in when he forgives you. If you're not saved, why don't you come get saved tonight? And if you're a Christian, why not come kneel to the altar tonight and say, "Lord, I'm in it for the long haul. By your grace, will you help me?" Father, have your way in invitation, Lord. They've been patient in this message. I believe that the majority of them have been absorbing it. And I pray now that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and we will respond to your word in a way that pleases you. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Head bowed. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, P.A., 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA, 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, MAIL.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.